So try to work through a little bit of a lot of what we know about Hanukkah, what the Neris represent, and what Yavan represents, and we'll just try to see how we can make it very relevant to us on a day-to-day basis. So what's fascinating about Hanukkah, and really, you know, about other Yom Tovim that are Drabanan, but in particular Hanukkah, as we'll see, is that the other Yom Tovim, let's say, you know, the ones that are Minat Torah, Shabbos, and Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, you see, a Yom Tov that's Minat Torah. So the Eibishter wrote the Torah, and the world was created through the Torah. So that means whatever effect happens in the world as a result of the Yom Tov is from top down, meaning to say the world was created in concurrence to the way the Torah was written. So during Pesach time the world is different, and during Sukkot time the world is different. It all fits into the mold that it was created through the Torah. So Pesach time is Zman Cheruseinu, and the whole world works around that, and the way the Torah puts it down is that it's Zman HaKatzir. You know, so each particular yontif corresponds to something which is going on in this world, but it started out from the yontif, and then the yontif had that effect on the world because the world was created as a result of the yontif. The world was created as a result of the Torah. And Hanukkah, yontif derabanan, was the other way around. It didn't exist as far as the Torah was concerned. I mean, obviously everything is in the Torah, but it wasn't. It was more that we took what existed and we turned it into a yantiv. It started from the bottom up. And that's a very fascinating concept, that we were able to take what exists in this world and create a yantiv out of it. And this, in particular, has a very significant meaning, and specifically to Hanukkah, as we'll explain. Now, there's a number of interesting aspects to the mitzvah of the menorah of Hanukkah. We light it al Pesach Beis HaMibachutz, which is an interesting thing. And as we light the menorah, well, we light it outside of our house. I mean, we'll see, we don't do that anymore. But the main mitzvah, the way the mitzvah was given initially, was to light it al Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. You light it outside of your house. Now, Bizman HaGolus, we can't light it outside anymore. So we light it Mibifnim. We light it inside the house. What do the two things represent? Lighting outside the house or lighting inside the house? What's the reason why the mitzvah began as a mitzvah outside the house, and now in Golos it's a mitzvah inside the house? What does that signify? There's another aspect of the position of the menorah, is that the halacha is when you light it by Pesach Beisai, when you light it by the door of your house, so when you're walking into your house, the mezuzah is supposed to be on your right side, and the menorah is supposed to be on your left side. That's the halacha. The story says, "Shemar mezuzah miyamin, and menorah mismail." The menorah is on the left side, the mezuzah is on the right side. That's when you're walking into your house. When you're walking out of your house, it's the opposite, right? When you're walking out of your house, then the menorah is on your right side. And this is not a mikra; it's meant to be that way. And the way the svarim explain, a number of svarim, you can even find it in Sefer HaTodah, you know, all the basic svarim on. That I explain Hanukkah, that the concept is as follows. The mezuzah represents, I think it could be seen from Midrashim, the mezuzah represents Torah, represents Emunah, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and smile, so Orachayim b'yamina, Orachayim representing, you know, the Kiyum HaTorah, etc., u'b'smaila Oysha v'chavayt. Now smile always, or the left, always represents Gashmis. It always represents what we do in this world. We work, you know, we eat, we sleep, we do all the things necessary to preserve ourselves and to raise our families and to give ourselves life, to be able to continue. That's called smaila. Smaila is Oysha v'chavad. Oysha v'chavad, the things in this world, is on the tzad smal. When we're going into our house, we have the mezuzah v'yamin, and we have the ner Chanukah mismal, which means to tell us that the ner Chanukah is supposed to influence that aspect of our lives. The Ner Chanukah is meant to influence the smile part of our lives. It's supposed to influence how you do work, how you view eating, how you view sleeping, how you view all aspects of your Gashmi Stiga world. which is very much the way the Yontov of Chanukah was set up to begin with. Again, like I said, the Yontov of Chanukah is something we did. We took this world and we turned it into a Yontov. We took what exists here in this world, which is our connection to Gashmi, is what we have here, and we created a Yontov out of it. Now, how exactly did we do that? Conversely, when you go out of the house, then it's on your right side. Now, what does that signify? The Shem Yishmuel says, and you know, we'll just say this b'kitzur, and then we'll try to explain it in more in depth. Akochi is lashon. He says the shmanim shebehechel, the oils that were in the hechel, which the yavanim were metame all of them. He bechinas hachachma. They represent chachma. Oil always represents chachma. There's a number of aspects of oil that resemble chachma. It always keeps itself separate. It floats above everything, etc. The number of aspects of oil, the Sfarim discussed, that represent the midah of chachma. So shmanim shebechel hu b'mechinas hachachma, shebesechel. And that's why the Yavanim were shaylet on it. They were metameit. They wanted to turn it to their ends and their devices, which we'll explain it momentarily. Ukashigavri Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael were goyver, nahapachu, they switched it. Ad sheheira ha'aras alekis gam bechitzainis. They were able to be mayor, ha'ar alekis, the ar of the menorah, gam bechitzainis, even in chitzainis, even in all the gashmis and all the chayshech and all the everything outside of Kedusha, they were able to have an effect. And this is why Ner Chanukah is mitzvah lahanichai al Pesach Beisam Yibachotz. That's the tachlis of Ner Chanukah, to be put on the Pesach Yibachotz, to have a hashpa on all the choshech that's outside your house. When you leave your house, the Ner Chanukah is miyamin. It has to trump everything outside your house. Inside your house, it's mismoil. It's designed to, in other words, in your house, the understanding is your seichel and your chachma is tayr, that's yimin, that you have the mezuzah, and the ner chanukah is supposed to affect the smut, all the gashmi. It's outside your house when you're faced with all the kfira that's over there, out there from the umas ha'ilam, then you need ner chanukah liyamin. That's why on your way out, ner chanukah is taken along with you to be goyver on everything that's out there, all the choshech that's out there. Nowadays, we can't do that. We're in Galus. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power to be shoylet on umas ha'ilam, to have an effect on them. Ner chanukah has to be inside, meaning to say, we have to protect ourselves from the inside, that they shouldn't have an effect on us. And that's our job over here. B'zman hazeh, when we light b'fnim, is that the inside should be protected, and the inside should stay bright. I'll also explain this in more depth. I'm sure everybody has heard at some point or another that the way contemporary Sfarim and earlier Sfarim also explain what was it that Yavan represented. And it's referred to as the Greek philosophies and the Greek, the famous Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, and the Chachmas Yavan, which they wanted to try, they tried to impress upon Klal Yisrael, and they tried to get Klal Yisrael to accept, is thought to be, or explained to be, basically very much similar to modern-day atheism, where only what you're able to understand is what you believe in, and only what can be measured exists, and otherwise anything above that or out of that is just fable. And it's not true, or it's not believable, or it's just theology, nothing, not something that you live with. That's the way the Chachmas Yavanis is represented, and that's what it's always presented, that's what they were trying to force upon Klal Yisrael. Now, what's interesting is that the Greeks, and especially at that time, served many gods, right? The Greek, what now is all Greek mythology, but those were all actual gods, and they had actual temples. I don't have to name all of them, but you know, they're well known, and the Gemara names a number of them, and those were all gods that they served. Not only that, but if you look in the Megillas Antiochus, which is one of these Midrashim Chitainim, which don't have exactly the same type of Masara that our other Midrashim have, but in any case, it details a lot of how the Milchama took place. A large part of the Milchama, what really spurred the Yidden into action, was the Yavanim trying to force them to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mention over there, at least not in the beginning, it doesn't mention about the various attacks they made on Yiddishkeit, you know, which is we know from Midrashim later on, we'll get to soon, you know, on Shabbos, Mila, and Chodesh, etc. But over there it says they took Yehuda and they told him, you have to shecht a chazir in the Hechel, or Elazar Kaigal, who was 90 years old and he was killed because he didn't want to shecht a chazir to Avodah Zarah. So there was a lot of Avodah Zarah. Now, Avodah Zarah is, one would imagine, something which is, again, beyond an intellect. It's a religion like another religion. So how do you put these two things together? Right, we look at Yavan, we say it's Chachma, and they represent Chachma, Chachma devoid of any spiritualism, Chachma devoid of anything that beyond would be able to understand. And that's what their Chachma definitely has come into nowadays, but yet at the time, there was still a big emphasis on Avodah Zarah, and that was a big emphasis on what the Yechash and Menorim were fighting against. So, actually, I asked Rav Aaron Lapiansky about this, and he told me that you look in their books, you know, and Socrates, and apparently he has, you know, studied what they have to say, he said it's devoid of any religion whatsoever. And they only, their decision about what is considered good and what is considered righteous and what is correct is based on only as what they can prove from their own understanding, from their own moifes, like it's called in Lashon Kodesh, their own proofs, own philosophical proofs. Nothing is based on any previous religion. And he says, although Socrates, it says, did serve Avodah Zarah and his last will was to send a carbon to Avodah Zarah, he said it's very much the way people celebrate religion nowadays. It's secular. It's like it's a social type of thing. You know, that's what was just accepted socially, so they did it. But it didn't affect their view on life, and it didn't affect their outlook on life. Now, the truth is, when you learn the Indian of Avodah Zarah, I'm not an expert in it, but the concept of Avodah Zarah, if someone was explaining to me once, like a good marshal, he said, and if anybody's ever played a video game, so there's something called a cheat code, what you're familiar with. A cheat code is that you don't want to really go, you know, hack through the video game, like, you know, take the 3-4 hours that it takes to get to the levels you're trying to get to. And instead, you type in some sort of a code, or you push some button in a certain sequence, and it flips you ahead, way ahead. That was the concept of Avodah Zarah initially. Initially, the people who understood the Eibishter, right, the Dar Enosh and so on, they understood what the Eibishter represented, and they understood his dominance over the Bria. And they just were looking for a way around it. They didn't want to have to, you know, shtaltzu, so to speak. They didn't want to have to do what Hashem wants you to do in order to get what Hashem will give you. They didn't want to subscribe their life to that type of life of ruchnius and spiritualism and denying yourself, you know, all your ritzinus and taivus. Rather, they wanted a way around that. And the way around that was Avodah Zarah. They went directly to these other kaiches that are in the Bria and harness them to their own uses. So Avodah Zarah is not spirituality, it's actually the opposite of spirituality. In other words, if we'll define spirituality as looking for something beyond yourself, looking for something higher than yourself, looking for a way to elevate yourself and to control your gashmius, Avodah Zarah was the exact opposite of that. The point of Avodah Zarah, the reason why it was adopted to begin with, was to avoid that, was that, like Chazal say, that Pari Oymed Al HaYar, Yar, the Nilus, was represented by the Zara of Mitzrayim. Pari was Oymed Al HaYar. The Umas HaOylam Oymdim Al Elehehem. They created their gods for the purpose of controlling them. All the Greek mythology, all these gods, right, they had all the vices of human people. They were Mizana, they had orgies, they ate, they fressed. And the Greeks celebrated this because this allowed them to do all those things in the name of their religion. So it was hardly a religion as the way we look at a religion. All it really was trying to actually extract any spirituality from what you're doing and just giving you a go-ahead to go to, you'll get what you want, and yet you can do whatever you want. So the religion began with that sort of disconnect from spirituality, and therefore, as a result of that, it dwindled down and disappeared, but what it ended up in was Chachmas Yavanis, which means they rejected it once they started applying their minds to it. That was rejected as any form of truth, and the only truth was whatever they were able to perceive by their own intellect, because that's what they have been worshipping for the past thousands of years. They were worshipping themselves. They weren't worshipping gods. They were worshipping themselves. They were using the gods as a medium to worship themselves, and then it got to the point where it became true atheism, because that's what true atheism is. Now, what's interesting about the Chachma of Yavan, which, like I said, would be the Chachma of today, Chazal call it Klipas Noiga. In the, I think Zohar, other places refer to it as Klipas Noiga. Klipas Noiga means the shell, Klipa being a shell of light. light referred to Chachma, and this is the shell of light. A klipa is a shell of an orange, or the shell of a nut, or a peel of an orange, right? It serves a very important purpose. But it only serves that purpose as long as there's an orange inside it. Once you peel the orange, then the peels are discarded. The peels, if they start to take on a life of their own, right, so then that has very bad consequences, right? If you serve someone an orange that's hollow, right, that won't accomplish too much. It'll actually be bad. He'll bite into it and he'll just have peel. So what the Yevanim did, they took the klipa of the neg, which means they had the chachma. The point of chachma is to bring you to the R that's within a chachma. All chachma in the world leads you to Hashem. All study of science technically today, if it would be within scientific method to believe in Hashem, then that would be the natural conclusion. In other words, you have all these questions, you know, how the world began, and how it came to this, and how that, and then how could this be? And they use all sorts of different, they try everything possible to find an answer for that, and to find an explanation for that through evolution and whatever other possibilities given. As strange as they might seem, and as much as they might seem almost as a religion unto themselves, the reason why that is because the methodology that they're using doesn't allow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the methodology that the science uses is something that can be measured, something that can be seen, something that can be felt, or can be registered on an instrument. Once the answer to the question is something beyond that, even though it seems, in other words, proven because of lack of another answer, but it being that it can't be measured by any instrument, so that's not an acceptable answer. So the method which they're approaching Chachma, they're approaching it with not in a really honest way. They're approaching it in a very dishonest way. That is, not allowing themselves to be open to all possible answers. They're saying, no, I'm limiting my answers to only things that can be measured. So then, if by definition the correct answer is something which can't be measured, then they will be going off the... They'll end up with what they ended up with. You know, so these strange theories, which is the best that they could come up with, as much as you can argue till you're blue in the face that, even look at the statistics, it's 10 to... You know, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, that's the possibility of such a thing happened. And they'll say, well, but it happened, right? So, in other words, there is no other answer. The other answer is not a viable answer given the way we approach Chachma. So you approach Chachma devoid from any Shemayim, devoid from any possibility even of Amunah. So then you're going to end up with a conclusion which obviously is going to pull you away, because you've separated the klipa from the fruit. The klipa would very much have brought you to the fruit. And all chachma automatically, inexorably leads you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the end. Every single study, every single science that there exists, it brings you to that conclusion. There's so much of it which is impossible to understand, impossible to be without that answer. But yet, that's not an answer. So then they're just left with the klipa without the fruit. So they're left with tumah. They're left with kfira. It brings them to the extreme opposite. I saw a quote once that when the one of the I forgot his name now, he's still alive. One of the people that have written a lot about evolution, you know, the proofs to, for, against, etc. And he writes that for the scientific world to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an answer is like you're telling people that risked their life and their whole profession, their whole life to climb Mount Everest, and they've been working on it, and their whole fortune has been poured into it, and they get to the top, and they find a group of theologians sitting there already for centuries. In other words, if they're going to use everything that was a result of the scientific method, then what are they going to end with? That Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we've been there already at that conclusion for many hundreds of years. So it's not a viable answer. In and of itself, it's not a viable answer. Anyway, so what's fascinating is, though, that, and this is the Nakuda, that's really the Nakuda of Hanukkah, is that all these chachmas not only bring you to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they start from the Torah. And this is a wonderful piece of this sheet that I gave out. This is somewhat well known. This is Kedai to go through the whole thing. It's really amazing. This is written by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He wrote Sefer Pasa Shulchan on Hilchos Zrayim. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he says this is Hakdama, and he speaks about the guy. And so if it's on the page that has a Dibra Maschel Rabbeinu Hakadosh Achasid, so in that Dibra Maschel Rabbeinu Hakadosh Achasid, towards the middle, it says as follows. Here we go. Here, v'lo yichalti lehis apik. It's, I guess, there's here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines down from that paragraph. V'lo in the middle of the line. V'lo yichalti lehis apik. I couldn't hold back. V'lo yadiya sipra amiti niflon. An amazing story. Asher shemati mipek kadosh. From the Holy Mouth, Talmud Muvik Sharabinu Akadish, Talmud of the Goyin, Rav Chav of Noach, Nefesh Tadik, a Rav, Goyin Achasin, a Mukubu, a Goyin, first of all, Oilam, Nachem Mendel. This is from Nachem Mendel Mishklav, he was Talmud of the Goyin, Rishalayim. Baal Machaber, Asar, Svarim Kedoshim, in the Starim, he's written 10 Svarim in Nistar, Behem Beksuvim, they haven't been printed yet. Bahay Be'e Shimesh, Lefne Harabinu HaGoyin, he was Meshamish, the Vilna Goyin, Be Yosef Bekal Kadish Serhai. He was living at that time in the city of Serhai. Beshashim Asim Pirushai Al Shershim. He finished writing the Vilna Goyin's Pirush on the Sefer Shir Shirim, Shekibul Mimenu that the Vilna Goyen had taught him. V'hava b'dicha daita, and the Vilna Goyen was very happy. It was samach b'simchas ha-tayra ha-kadosh. V'yikru l'mukhutanai, so the Vilna Goyen called to his mukhutin, ha-goyen ha-rab, ha-serhai, the serhai, the rab of serhai, v'bnei ha-gadol, and to his son, ha-mefurs ha-marilzal. V'atzibu lizgar chedra, and he said, block the door. V'achaloyin ha-sigru, and they closed the windows. V'yoyim. In the middle of the day, behidliku neris harbe, and they lit many neris. Bekasha sayim pirush, and as he finished the pirush, nasa einav lamarim, he picked up his eyes to shemayim. Bedvekas atzuma bebrocha vahidal shmei agadol with brachas and idoyas to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. His baruch shmei shezikeu lahasagas or kol ha-tayra. He was zeicha now to the hasaga of the or of the whole Torah. Bepnimi yoseha v'chutzi yoseha, the inside and the outside. Koyam, and he said as follows: Kol ha-chachmas nitzrachem l'tayra seinu. All chachmas in the world are necessary for the Torah Hakadosha. V'klulumba, and they're all included in the Torah. V'yadam kulam l'tachlisam, and the Goyen says, and I understand all of them in their entirety. V'hizkiram, chachmas algebra, mishulashim, in other words, trigonometry, v'handasa, that's engineering, chachmas musika, and chachmas music. V'shibcha harbe, and he was mishabech music very much. Huhayimer, he used to say, he said at that time, Ki roiv tamei taira v'soidois shirei halavim, most of the tamei ha-taira, and the secrets of shirei halavim, v'soidois tikkun ha-zayar, and the secrets of tikkun ha-zayar, e efshir leida baladi, you will not be able to understand them without understanding music. V'al yada, and with music, yicholim b'nei adam, lamus b'chleis nefesh, you can die from kleis nefesh, from the hishtekik, is the need to have it, me need myself from its beauty. V'yichayim l'hachiyas ha-mesim. Beside this, and you can be mechayim mesim with its secrets. Hagenuzim b'tayra, that are hidden in the Torah. Hu amar kama nigunim v'kama midois hevi Moshe Rabbeinu mehar Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel from har Sinai many nigunim. V'asham rukavim. And everything since then is just a combination of those. Ubiar echus kol ha-chachmas. And he was mevayer the inner quality of all chachmas. V'amar she'asigam l'tachlisam. And he understood all of them in their entirety. Rak chachmas harafua, just chachmas of medicine. Yoda chachmas hanituach, he knew anatomy, surgery. V'hashayichla, whatever is relevant to that. Ach ma'isa hasamim, but medicine umelachton lema'isa. To actually apply it, rotel alam de mi roife hazman. He wanted to get it from the roifim who existed at the time. The gozer all of Avav Tzadik, and his father the Tzadik was gozer on him shaloy alam. Then he should not learn it. Kadesh shaloy yivatayel mitarasa. He should not have to be mevatel from his tayra because she'd starach laleches lahatzel nefashis. Because she had legamra, if he knows it totally, he'll have the chiyuv to be matzal nefashis, and that will be mevatel taira. V'chein chachmas hakishuv, he knew chachmas hakishuv. Hashi yoda hasanhedrin, sanhedrin knew it about tanoim. V'his hiru shetzarach lalamda, they said you have to learn it. Kamuska b'shas al reblezer b'shua, benetiyas kishuim, planting pumpkins, v'akirasa and v'yoda. Rak ha'yechaisel lemaaseh asavim, he just didn't understand something to do with the grasses. V'chol gemar ma'aseh mibnei she'em biyad ha'goyim ha'kafriim, because the goyim who lived in the villages, they were the ones who knew it. He could not get the actual lemaisa of them because he didn't want to have to do with them. And a philosophy. Amar shalom de l'tachlisa. He learned it in its entirety. And from the whole thing, there's only two good things. The 70 koichos that a person has. They're going to list them out in Yeshaya. And one other thing, and everything else you have to throw away. And it's amazing. You can keep on going. What his command of the Torah is. But the point being that there is no chachma that doesn't have its makar in the Torah and doesn't have its source in the Torah. And the Torah is, by definition, the source of all the chachmas. Now, one of the things that the Yevanim wanted to tear out was Kiddush HaChodesh, right? It says Rosh Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh seems strange. What was their beef with Rosh Chodesh? But in other midrashim, the way it's explained is that Rosh Chodesh represents Torah. Now, why is it that Rosh Chodesh should represent Torah? But Chazal said, the pasuk says, "Ki hi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'ene ha'amim." Chai Yisrael always had the Messiah of exactly how long it takes for the moon to make a full revolution, which is 29 days, 12 hours, and Taf Shin Tzadik Gimel Chalakim, a chelik being 3 seconds, so it's 3 times Taf Shin Tzadik Gimel. You can go figure that out. So that's the Chai Yisrael always had that Messiah, and it's accurate to the second, as we have the Kalim now to be able to measure that. But at the time, when there was absolutely no way to measure a thing like that, that was the ultimate proof that all Chachmas HaBriya start and end in the Torah. And they all come from the Torah. And this Chachma that allowed Klal Yisrael to be Mekadosh HaChodesh was something which the Ummah Salem could not tolerate. The Aruch HaShulchan says in his Zakdama, he quotes also one of the, I have it over here somewhere, he quotes one of the philosophers that said that from the fact that Klal Yisrael knows the exact cheshbon of how long it takes the moon to revolve is the ultimate proof that the truth of all chachmas is in the Torah. And this was something that they could not be civil. It was not something they would be willing to accept. It was not something they were willing to accept because that had been their whole philosophy and their whole life mission for years, for thousands of years, to not accept that there is anything beyond us, anything that requires us and forces us and is mechayev us beyond that. When we light the menorah, and what we're doing is we are being ma'ir, the penimius, of everything that we do. We light the menorah bifnim, we light it to protect all that we know. We go out into the world and we work alongside, people that do not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people that do not believe in the Milo Klal Yisrael. And it's at times you work along with them and you talk to them and you read what they have to write, and it can start to affect you because the lines between us and them can start to blur. And what Chanukah needs to be mechazik by us is that the aur of everything starts from the aur of Chanukah. The aur of everything is what we infuse into the Bria. The koyach that there is in the Bria, any power that there is in the Bria, anything that exists in the Bria, is all fueled by this Shem and this aur that we light. The Klal Yisrael, through Avodas Hashem and through Torah Kedoshah, is the source of any chachma that's in the Bria, is the source of any koyach that there is in the Teva, and their hashpa is the hashpa that's mashpia on everything that's in the Teva. Whereas in past days when we were in Eretz Yisrael and we weren't in Galus, we were able to light on Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. We could light on the outside, and when we went out, it was Tar Yamin. We viewed the whole world in that way, and we were able to be mashpia. We were able to be mashpia on the Ummah Shel Olam, on the Goyim, and everybody outside. That the true Teichen, the true the Emes, the inner pnimius of everything that exists, the all Chachma, is the Ar HaTorah and the Ar of the Menorah and the Ar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in Galus, we light it within to protect ourselves in our house, that the outside influence shouldn't affect us. That we would realize when we're faced with all the challenges that we have daily, day in and day out. And all the Avodah that we do, and all that we do in our work and in our Gashmi's digger life, has to be infused with the pnimius that exist within it, the point of this that we eat, the point of this that we sleep, the point of this that we work, is all to bring kedusha into the bria. The point of it is to bring out the kedusha that exists there, and we're the ones that are able to do it. We are able to be Eved Hashem through eating, through sleeping, to bring kedusha into every aspect of this world. And this is the nekuda that we have to focus on when we're lighting the menorah.